The World Health Organization today announced a major policy change. It's actively backing the controversial pesticide DDT as a way to control malaria. Malaria kills about 1 million people a year, mainly children and mainly in Africa, despite a decades-long effort to eradicate it. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports on the WHO's new initiative.
The WHO previously approved DDT for dealing with malaria, but didn't go around actively supporting it. One reason, while DDT repels or kills mosquitoes that carry the malaria parasite, it doesn't get much good press. In 1962, environmentalist Rachel Carson wrote a book about how it persists in the environment and affects not just insects, but the whole food chain. And there were songs like this one by activist songwriter Malvina Reynolds.
It kills the bugs in the apple tree. I eat the pie and it's killing me, DDT. On my brain.
In the early 1960s, several developing countries had nearly wiped out malaria. After they stopped using DDT, malaria came raging back. Other control methods have had only modest success, which is why Arata Kochi, head of the WHO's anti-malaria campaign, has made the move to bring back DDT. His major effort at a press conference today in Washington was not so much to announce the change, but to co-opt potential opposition from environmental groups.
We are asking these environmental groups to join the fight to save the life of babies in Africa. This is our call to them.
A number of major environmental groups support the limited use of DDT. Instead of spraying it in fields, spraying is limited to the inside of houses and huts once or twice a year. That's supported by the Sierra Club and Environmental Defense, which was founded by scientists concerned about DDT. And it's part of President Bush's new malaria initiative. But some environmental groups say spraying DDT will be harmful. Jay Feldman is executive director of a group called Beyond Pesticides. He says using it's a war plan without an exit strategy.
WHO holds a lot of clout in the world health community, and the fact that they're now changing policy and advocating use of DDT will have dramatic impact. They announced today that they expect 85% receptivity, that is, knocking on people's homes and convincing them, that's their language, to use DDT.
Looking at the medical literature, Feldman predicts harmful effects.
This is a chemical that has been studied and evaluated, and over the years has been found to cause cancer, endocrine disruption, adversely affects the nervous system and the immune system, and is very problematic from the standpoint that it is persistent. It bioaccumulates in fatty tissue and in the environment.
And is passed on in breast milk. But supporters of the new policy discount those studies and point to others showing it's safe. Richard Trent is with a group called Africa Fighting Malaria. He says, for example, that while there may be lab studies showing DDT could potentially cause cancer, no large studies show an actual increase in cancer in people. Some opponents say DDT will be diverted to more direct and more harmful agricultural use. Trent has watched indoor spraying campaigns in Zambia.
You're not seeing leakage into the environment, you're not seeing leakage to agriculture. What you are seeing are sharp, dramatic reductions in malaria deaths and disease.
The field of malaria control has historically been dogged by problems with resistance. Each time scientists find a way to fight the parasite finds a way to fight back. It's figured out how to resist most treatments, for example. And some mosquitoes have already learned to tolerate DDT. The WHO's Kochi says resistance can be limited if DDT is used carefully and only where it's likely to be effective. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.